Mike does it. Can you put the pedal to the metal? I think he can. Well, my next guest, Alita Jerry, is counting down the days till she next heads off on an adventure. I suspect she's quite used to these style of adventures, having ridden across Australia last year, over 4,000 kilometres across the Nullarbor Plain, from Canberra to Perth. This year, she's riding through Europe, 3,500 kilometres. Certainly going to be a long ride. She joins me in the studio this morning. Hi, Alita.
Hi, Alish.
First of all, I've got to ask, why?
Yeah, that's the question most people ask.
Why?
Well, lots of reasons, I think. And I think I said this to Greg last year, but, I enjoy cycling. That's a big thing. And I think you would have to in order to do something this big. And I think it's a really good pace to see the countryside and to see the changing countrysides and I guess be more aware of your surroundings.
Absolutely. You're a young woman. What are you studying? You're studying at university?
No, I have studied, but now I also just work. Yeah.
So you're just taking time off.
Yeah.
How long does it take to ride 3,500?
Well, it depends on the terrain. So, I mean, the Canberra to Perth ride was 4,000 kilometres and that was mostly flat. So, I mean, that was, if it wasn't hilly, so this will be far more hilly.
How long did it take you to get from Canberra to Perth?
That was 10 weeks. And I'm budgeting, I guess, about 8 weeks for this Europe cycle. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I think it should be okay.
I think the weeks sound less than the kilometres.
They do. Yeah.
Doesn't it? Sounds like a sort of... What got you into cycle touring?
I just think it's a really good way to travel.
Yeah.
I've ever since uni and before uni, I was cycling around Canberra. Like, that's my main form of transport. And I've just done a few little trips over the years, two, three-day trips, and I just really enjoyed that. So I figured, well, maybe I can do a longer one. And so the first big one I tried was last year, Canberra to Perth, and I really did enjoy that. So,
what do you enjoy? Like you've mentioned, just the pace, but you ride by yourself.
Yeah.
So there's a solitude about there.
Certainly. Yeah. There definitely are, hours, whole days when you're just by yourself, but it doesn't, even the Australia trip, it wasn't very solitary in a way because you're always meeting people and it does really pique people's interest. They always come up to you and ask you what's going on and all of that. And it's just, it's good thinking time, I find. Like it's nice to have your own space to be able to do that, I think.
Do you have things going through your ears? Because sometimes I see cyclists riding along really busy highways because that's sometimes the only road that you can go on. You want to take the shortest distance, but also the safest and most scenic if you can.
Mm.
Do you have things in your ears?
Some of the time, like I did listen to music quite a bit. But I think you just have to gauge what the road's like. I mean, if it's too busy or too dangerous, you really want to have that sense there. So you just have to, make that decision at the time.
What do you take? I want to say, let's talk about the trip across the Nullarbor. What's on your bike?
So for that, I travelled fairly light. I had about 15 to 16 kilos all up on the back, and that was in two back panniers and just a day pack strapped to the back as well. So.
And your tent? Yeah. Are you camping?
So, no. Originally, I thought I would take a tent, but actually, I think I'll be able to stay with a lot of people along the way, but I just thought the extra weight wasn't really that worth it.
On the Nullarbor? Who do you know? Who do you know on the Nullarbor?
No, I didn't know anyone on the Nullarbor. That's true. You'd have to be pretty special to know people there. No, but I did for the other bits.
Wasn't that nice?
Wasn't the Nullarbor.
Sorry, I had to pick out the Nullarbor because to me that is just the longest, remotest, most iconic stretch of Australian road.
Yeah.
As a single girl, do you ever feel very exposed out there?
Well, I didn't. And I have to say for that Nullarbor section, I did have a friend who joined me for that bit. So I was alone for the whole trip except for the Nullarbor. So I guess it was a nice mix of doing a lot of it on my own, but having another person for that long solitary bit.
Yeah. Gee. And just, you are exposed. I remember doing a bit of cycle touring when I was your age.
Mm-hmm.
And I agree with all that soulless and the beauty of the pace and the ability to be able to eat.
Yeah, that's true.
Eat your bus fare in food.
Exactly. Yeah, I think the budget balances out in that way.
It does. But I remember riding up, you know, and never feeling threatened. And I think this is always the question that people would ask if you're a solo cyclist. Do you ever feel threatened? And I never did. Never did. Only a couple of times, very rare, that people on a... I remember riding up Elephant Pass in Tasmania.
Oh, right.
And someone, it was very slowly, I was practically going backwards. Yep. You had to line me up with a post to see if
damn
I was moving
gravity.
Forwards.
Yeah.
But someone just slowly followed me the whole way up. Oh, van.
That's
vans
a bit menacing.
Always, it was very menacing, and they kept on pulling over. And that was my only concerning time, but the rest...
It doesn't seem menacing at all. I mean, there are some trucks or cars or vans, but on the whole, it's fine.
What about through Europe? So are you planning to do the same sort of style, staying overnight in houses, or are you camping?
Yes, just staying overnight in houses, And I think it's much easier in Europe, obviously, with the higher population density, there'll be more people around, so...
My guest this morning on 666 ABC Canberra is Alida Jerry, and she's just about to head off on a trip from the Balkans to Britain. There's also an awareness raising here. It's not just a holiday, probably is a great journey and a great adventure, but you've got something else bubbling under.
Yeah, well, I mean, so with my first trip, these trips are things I really want to do. They're things I enjoy, but I think it's good to, while I'm doing it, raise awareness for things that I care for and am passionate about. And especially in Europe now with the Syria crisis, that's a big thing, and you know everyone hears about it all the time. I really did want to go over and see for myself what's happening. So I'm fundraising for two NGOs, so Climate Council of Australia. They deal primarily with the scientific information for the public about climate change science.
And rely on public funds.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, they're fully public funded. Yeah. And also CARE Australia, and they deal a lot with humanitarian aid and disaster aid. They're doing a lot of good work over there as well.
And as you're fundraising through, how do you raise money?
I've created a fundraising site through, there's this platform called MyCause. So you can just go online there. It's very easy and you can choose to donate to whether you donate to Climate Council or Care Australia or both. It's all very easy. I don't want to be dealing with the money.
No, okay.
So
people
can do that there.
Did you feel you needed to have a focus for a ride like this? So that it didn't feel so, I don't want to use the word selfish.
Yeah, no, and that's it. It is fairly self-indulgent, so it's...
and holidays, I mean, self-indulgent anyway,
course.
And you're young, and everybody can remember those times of being self-indulgent. Do you think by threading those causes underneath it, it makes it...
Totally. I think it's a way to give something back while I'm doing something pretty big like this. Yeah.
With the awareness raising around climate change and the refugee crisis, how do you go about... communicating that urgency without turning people off?
Yeah, that's a tricky one. I guess you can't force anything onto anyone. I think it's just a matter of trying to just have an open discussion and just asking people questions and asking people what they believe. And I mean, if they're really against it or they don't agree, like, you can't push that. But I don't know, I guess just being personable and trying to have that ongoing discussion with people. And I've found that people usually are very open to it. The people I've met, they're happy to have that chat, and they can see that point of view on both fronts, on the humanitarian front and the climate change front. So, yeah, in my experience, it's been fine so far, but... Yeah.
We're discussing how your background is Hungarian.
Yeah.
And you're choosing to